May what I speak, may what you hear be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from that gospel reading, Luke chapter 13, verse 11. Just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. Life is difficult. Life is difficult. Not for all of us, all of the time, thank God. But for many people, much of the time, life can be very difficult. And those difficulties, they come in many shapes and sizes, as you know. And those difficulties, they come from many different sources, as you also know. Now, I should say that some of those difficulties, some of them, let's be honest, some of them we bring on ourselves. Yeah, we bring them on ourselves through our bad decisions, our poor judgments, or our wrong turnings. Yeah. But many more of our difficulties are not chosen by us. Yeah. I'm thinking here of things like illness, disability, bereavement. I'm thinking of things like bullying, prejudice, discrimination. I'm thinking of financial troubles, relationship troubles, work troubles, fears for the future, regrets about the past. The list could go on. You could probably add a few of your own. Yes, life is often difficult. And life certainly was difficult for the woman at the center of today's gospel reading. And while I assume that this particular woman was no perfect human being, any more than we are, while I take that as read, most of this woman's difficulties were things for which she was certainly not to blame. Not to blame. They were matters well outside her control. Let me list some of them for you. First of all, of course, this poor woman had an illness, a crippling disability, some sort of spinal condition. And remember, too, she had this illness in a culture, a religious and social culture, where illness, such illnesses, were often seen as signs of moral failure, where illness was often seen as a sign of God's displeasure. What's more, she's also, of course, to state the obvious, she's female. She's a woman. She's a woman in what is politically and economically very much a man's world. She's a woman in what is, religiously speaking, very much a man's world, a patriarchal culture. In short, she is in many ways considered to be marginal, on the edge, second rate, third class, at best. Yes, there's a whole lot more than just her illness weighing down this particular woman. It's not just her physical disability that has her bent over. There are many forces compelling her to keep her head down, keep her face to the ground. For her, life is very difficult. But then something happens. We heard just now. This rabbi, this teacher, this prophet, and some people say he's more, this Jesus of Nazareth, he does something so extraordinary and unexpected. First of all, notice please, first of all, he sees her. We're told that explicitly. He sees her. It sounds simple, I know, but this woman, remember, had 18 years of being overlooked. She had 18 years of people looking away. People averting their eyes, pretending not to see her. But not this time. Oh, no, no. Jesus sees her. And then Jesus calls her. He speaks directly to her. Jesus, notice this, he interrupts his sermon. Wow, unheard of, would never happen here. He interrupts his sermon to talk to her. Jesus stops his teaching. You might say this, he turns aside from explaining the Bible in the abstract and instead shows us what the verses really mean when they're put into action here and now. So Jesus sees the woman, he calls her, and then he touches and heals her. He touches the one many people considered untouchable. He healed the one many people deemed incurable. He includes the one many people excluded. He lifts up the one others would rather keep bowed down. Jesus heals her. And now this woman, she can stand tall again. She can hold her head high again. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's really, really beautiful. But you may be wondering, what does it mean? And what has it got to do with me? What's it got to do with me? Well, as I see it, it's like this. That gospel passage means that in that synagogue on that particular day, through the person of Jesus, something of the extraordinary love which holds everything in being broke through into this ordinary world and brought healing and hope. That gospel passage means that in that synagogue on that day, something of the original God-given dignity, the dignity that every person has, without exception, something of that dignity was restored to one of God's children. That gospel passage means that in that synagogue on that day, we got a glimpse, just a beautiful but sustaining glimpse of the way things ought to be, of the way things will be when God is all in all. In other words, that gospel passage is a sign that healing and hope is God's dream for us all. A sign that daughters of Abraham, such as this woman, are just as beloved as sons of Abraham. A sign that while life is difficult, sometimes very difficult, love wins. Love wins. And we are here today. We are here today because we trust, we hope, we believe that what was true in that synagogue back then for those folks is just as true for us here and now. So I don't know what is weighing you down in your life right now. I don't know what has you bent over and bowed down almost to the ground. I don't know that. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you that the Spirit of Jesus is still at work. Let me tell you that he sees and calls and reaches out to each and every one of us. And let me tell you that he longs for you to be unburdened. He longs for you to stand up straight again. I read a very interesting definition of Christianity lately. Here's the definition of Christianity. It's from a Sri Lankan pastor, theologian called D.T. Niles. He said, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's good, isn't it? One poor beggar telling another beggar where the bread is. Well, my fellow beggars, I got to tell you this. The bread is here. The bread of life is here at this table, here at this altar. And that bread, it's free. It's freely given. And that bread, it nourishes. And that bread, it restores. So come later in this service and receive. Receive that bread. And can I suggest something else to you this morning? Can I suggest to you that as you come And as you bend down, like the woman, as you bend down and kneel at these altar rails, you will call to mind those things which are weighing you down, which are bending you over right now. And perhaps as you kneel down, you'd also open your hands and let go. Let go all your cares and worries and hand them over to God. And then when you receive the bread and wine, when you receive Christ's body and blood, I hope you'll also receive assurance. Assurance of your dignity as a beloved son or daughter of God. Assurance of God's great and indestructible love for you. Assurance that while life is difficult, love wins. Love wins. And finally, I hope and pray that as you get up from those altar rails again, as you get up again, you would, like the woman in today's gospel, and so many men and women down through the ages, that as you rise from those altar rails, you too would be unburdened. You too would unbend again to your full height, that you too would stand up straight and praise God. Luke chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. When Jesus saw the woman, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.